royals, impressive in their state dress, and they will sound the several fanfares during the ceremony, the first of which will herald the arrival of the Lord of Man. Then, moving on down the pathway towards the church, there's a detachment of 10 Royal Marines and 20 Royal Navy ratings from the tribal-class frigate HMS Mohawk. And then for the rest of the way down to the church, there are representatives of the various island cadet forces, scouts, guides, the Girls' Venture Corps, nurses from island hospitals, and for the very first time, a detachment from the Boys' Brigade, recently formed in Peel. As is usual at the Tynwald ceremony, we shall be hearing the new laws promulgated, or proclaimed, in the Manx language. And the whole proceedings will be held in the presence of the people, many of them holidaymakers, no doubt, but primarily the Manx people, for whom this is their national holiday, and who take an essential part in this Viking concept of an open-air assembly of the whole nation. Well, as I look out towards the main road, I can see that the first cars have arrived at St. John's. These carry His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor, Sir John Paul, and Lady Paul. Two other cars behind His Excellency's car carrying members of the official party, including the Secretary of State for Home Affairs, Mr. William Whitelaw and Mrs. Whitelaw, also Sir Robert Armstrong, who is Permanent Under Secretary of State at the Home Office, and Lady Armstrong. Matters relating to the Isle of Man are dealt with in London by the Home Office. Well, I referred briefly just now to the Manx National War Memorial. This is just off the processional pathway, about halfway between St. John's Church and Tynwald Hill. It's raised, traditionally, in the form of a large stone cross, the design of Manx archaeologist PMC Kermode. The island's contribution to the British forces in wartime has been unsurpassed anywhere in proportion to the population. That contribution is recalled by this memorial, which is floodlit at night throughout the year, and by the standard bearers of the Royal British Legion, its women's section, and many other ex-service organizations which are represented here today. Indeed, the national standard of the Royal British Legion women's section is paraded here for the first time today. It's the one with the lion on the top of the pole, and it's carried by Mrs. Daphne Murray, standard bearer of the Port St. Mary branch, who recently won the national standard bearer's title in competition at Eastbourne. The national chairman of the Royal British Legion women's section is also here as one of the many guests, Mrs. Margaret Handyside, who comes from Sunderland. Well, today's ceremonies will begin with the arrival of the Lord of Man, more usually represented by her Lieutenant Governor. For this millennium year, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Lord of Man, will preside over the Tynwald ceremony. The Queen is Lord of Man not because she is Queen of England or the United Kingdom, but because a whole series of events down the centuries passed the Lordship of Man from the original Viking kings to Scotland, to English noblemen, and finally to the British Crown, when it was purchased by the British Parliament in 1765, when the new Lord was George III of England. This is the first time that the Lord of Man has presided in person since 1945, when the Queen's late father, King George VI, accompanied by Queen Elizabeth, the present Queen Mother, attended the Tynwald ceremony. And we know that Her Majesty the Queen is at present making her journey from Ronaldsway Airport towards St. John's. And I can tell you that you may expect to see her wearing a deep pink woolen coat with a paler pink hat, and this will be worn over a patterned silk dress. Today, the Queen, with His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh, will arrive in a horse-drawn carriage from Ballacrane, just about half a mile away towards Douglas, having transferred from the car which has brought them from Ronaldsway Airport. They should be making that transfer just about at this moment. In fact, the procession from the Hope Corner via Ballacrane is now on its way towards St. John's. There will be a travelling escort of household cavalry, and the procession is timed to arrive here at St. John's at 10:33. Earlier this morning, at the moment that Her Majesty the Queen was setting foot on the island at Ronaldsway Airport, those of us who were here at St. John's heard a 21-gun royal salute fired by the 25-pounder guns of B Battery, the 1st Field Regiment Royal Horse Artillery, under the command of Major Tom Bremeridge. Well, the last time the Queen visited the Isle of Man was in August 1972, when she and several other members of the royal family sailed here in the royal yacht Britannia. His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, who accompanies the Queen today, has been here since, in May 1976, when he came to inspect the local activities connected with the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme. Now, looking down the road towards Ballacrane, I can see the procession approaching St. John's, led by the travelling escort of the household cavalry, wearing what they call mounted review order. Impressive figures indeed. Riding black horses and wearing shining helmets, wearing including the garter star with red plumes from the turret on the top of the helmet. And here is the royal procession now arriving at St. John's. The leading members of the travelling escort have already arrived opposite to the reception area, and here now is the royal procession. The royal carriage, one of the landaus from Ascot, being drawn by four Windsor Grey horses. And you will be able to hear the cheering behind me as the royal party arrives at St. John's. Two carriages. The second brings the Queen's Lady-in-Waiting, the Countess of Airlie, Crown Equerry, and other members of the royal party, but now Her Majesty the Queen has arrived at St. John's. She's received by His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor, and he presents two captains of the parishes, Mr. John Cannell, Captain of the Parish of Michael, and Mr. Richard Gorn, Captain of the Parish of Rushen. And now accompanied by the Field Officer in Brigade Waiting, Colonel Dick Hume from the Irish Guards, Her Majesty will move across the grass to the saluting base facing the Guard of Honour of the 1st Battalion, the Scots Guards. His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh, wearing the uniform of an Admiral of the Fleet. And as Her Majesty reaches the saluting base, we shall hear the Royal Salute and the National Anthem.
Royal Salute! Reason!
Now Major Julian Lancaster, the Guard Commander, is moving forward to report his guard to Her Majesty the Queen. And now, with the Royal Standard broken out on the central flagstaff on Tynwald Hill, Her Majesty the Queen, accompanied by the Guard Commander, moves forward to carry out her inspection of the Guard of Honour found by the 1st Battalion Scots Guards, based at Chelsea Barracks in London. Wearing Guard of Honour order, the scarlet tunic with the buttons in threes, characteristic of the Scots Guards, the soldiers wearing bearskins, which incidentally are made of real bearskin. The officers are larger, they come from the female bear, and this being the Scots Guards, there is no plume in the bearskin. Officers in the guard wearing gold sashes, knots and slings, which are only worn when the royal family is present. And the state colour, which is on parade, was presented by Queen Victoria in 1899, and that is only carried when the Queen is present. It's a very large colour, it's four times larger than the normal colour. It's silk, heavily embroidered in gold, and carries some of the regimental battle honours. And now, preceded by the eight state trumpeters in their golden state dress, Her Majesty the Queen and His Royal Highness and His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor are moving across the processional pathway towards the National War Memorial. And there, Her Majesty and His Royal Highness will lay a wreath. And you will hear the last post and reveille sounded by the eight state trumpeters. Her Majesty moving forward now between the ranks of the standard bearers. The wreath is handed to them, and they move forward together and lay the wreath jointly. The Last Post and Reveille, sounded by the 8 state trumpeters, 4 from the lifeguards, 4 from the Blues and Royals, and are now preceded by the trumpeters, Her Majesty the Queen and His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh, accompanied by His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor, will walk down the processional pathway to the robing room which adjoins the chapel. You can hear the units being brought to the present arms as Her Majesty passes between their ranks. Inside the robing room, the members of Tynwald will be presented, and it gives me a few moments in which to tell you a little about what follows and about the ceremony itself. Traditionally, the Tynwald ceremony begins with divine service at 11 o'clock. The service today will be attended by Her Majesty the Queen, His Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor, the Deemsters, members of the Legislature, and all the other officials who will be taking part in the ceremony on Tynwald Hill. The origin of the word Tynwald is Norse. In its original form, it meant Parliament Field, and it represents a system of government introduced to the island by the Vikings, who settled here in the 9th century. Many Manx and personal and place names remind us of our Norse ancestry, and Tynwald is one of them. It follows the Viking concept of an open-air court, or an assembly of the whole nation, where the old law was recited, new laws submitted for approval, and lawbreakers punished. The legislative part of this is still carried on to this day, with the promulgation in Manx and English of all new laws passed within the last 12 months and the royal assent to the laws announced. The whole ceremony that we're seeing here at St. John's today is now a remarkable political survival from early times and unique in the world, as today Tynwald celebrates 1,000 years of unbroken parliamentary government, the millennium. The only government organization of comparable age to Tynwald is the Icelandic Althing, which was also established by Viking settlers. And this was recognized in the island only last week, when Dr. Kristján Eldjárn, president of the Republic of Iceland, as it is now, visited the island to participate in the events of the Nordic Week. And today, at Tynwald, we welcome Mr. Gils Gudmundsson, president of the Althing. The Icelanders and the Manx are each inclined to claim that theirs is the older, but the truth is that no one really knows for certain. The Norse settlement occurred earlier in the Isle of Man, but in any event, the Icelandic open-air assembly was abandoned in 1798. So of all similar institutions set up by the Vikings, only Tynwald survives as such. Why is the ceremony held on the 5th of July? Well, in early times, Tynwald was held annually on the day of the great festival of Midsummer, June the 24th. Then, after the calendar was reformed in 1752, the date became July the 5th, Old Midsummer Day. And as I speak to you from St. John's, it's now beginning to look a little more like Midsummer Day, and the sun has come out, casting strong shadows across the fair field and across the whole Tynwald scene. The standard bearers of the Royal British Legion and other ex-service organizations are now moving from their position around the National War Memorial to their appointed place on each side of the processional pathway from the church to Tynwald Hill. Well, I was telling you about the date of Old Midsummer Day, and in Christian times, this was identified with the Feast of St. John, and a chapel would be built at the place of assembly. But even so, we do have reminders of pagan times, and all who attend the Tynwald ceremony wear sprigs of the Bolan Fulliawn, the herb of St. John's feast, also known as Bolan Bane, the white herb because of its silver-green leaves, but perhaps more widely recognised as mugwort. This is traditionally worn as a charm against evil spirits. Tynwald Hill itself, which dominates the site here this morning, is an artificial circular mound, 76 feet in diameter and 12 feet high. It's never been excavated, but is thought to be raised over the remains of some great island chief. It's raised in four tiers and is said to contain soil from each of the 17 ancient parishes, thus symbolizing that laws read upon it apply to the whole island. Today it's surmounted by a creamy white canopy slung from the central flagpole, and above the canopy, flying in the light breeze that we have at St. John's, is the royal standard of Her Majesty the Queen. The processional pathway between the church and Tynwald Hill is 120 yards long, and traditionally it's strewn with rushes on Tynwald Day. This is a very old custom, which is thought to go back to the time when the islanders brought a tribute of green rushes for the sea god Manannan on Midsummer Eve. Well, this is the first time that Her Majesty the Queen has presided over Tynwald, but it isn't the first time she's seen a Tynwald ceremony. And if that sounds like a contradiction, I should explain that in 1972, when she visited the island, Her Majesty watched a performance of the Tynwald ceremony here at St. John's, enacted by about 600 of the island's primary school children. And that's an event that's been repeated for distinguished visitors since. And already this year, the presidents of Malta and Iceland have seen it, and on the 3rd of August, it will be performed again for His Majesty the King of Norway. Now, as I said earlier, the service is due to begin at 11 o'clock. And now the Tynwald procession is making its way from the robing room into the church, entering by the south door. That's the one facing the main road. This royal chapel of St. John stands on the site of earlier chapels dating back 1,000 years. The present building was opened in 1849, and it includes special seating arrangements for the accommodation of the Tynwald Court. It was built of South Barule granite at the almost unbelievable cost today of £2,500. In a few moments, you'll be able to hear the organ voluntary, and we shall be going inside the church, where the service will begin in just a few minutes' time. It will start with the national anthem, and it will last for about 20 minutes, being led by the vicar, the Reverend Brian Partington. Members of Tynwald now processing down the center aisle of the church, walking on the deep red carpet. Her Majesty the Queen and His Royal Highness the Duke of Edinburgh have taken their appointed seats in the sanctuary. The Sword of State has been placed in position in the church. the congregation standing. Now the members of the House of Keys taking their place. I can see the wigged and gowned figure of the Speaker of the House of Keys taking his place in the seats which are unique to St. John's Church and which are arranged to accommodate all the members of the Tynwald Court. Four members of the House of Keys, of course. I can see the tall figure of the Clerk of Tynwald, Mr. Robert Quayle, and it is he who will give the signal for the service to begin. And now we are ready, I think, for the service.